I'll tell you what's wrong. This is Marion Cabot and Rose Hoffman interviewing Mrs. William Benswanger for Oral History Project 2 for the Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, on September 11th, 1974. Eleanor, would you tell us about your youth and your grandparents?
Well, I was born in Louisville, Kentucky on April 30th, 1898. I lived in Louisville until I was about a year and a half. My family moved to Pittsburgh on the 1st of January, 1900. The interesting part of that is that my father was in baseball. He had been born in Germany. His parents, my grandfather, his name was Samuel Dreyfus, and he lived in Freiburg, Germany. He was married to Fanny Goldsmith. My father was born in Freiburg in 1865. He came to Paducah, Kentucky in 1882. He was in the business with his half-brother, in Paducah, and for some reason why a German boy would be so interested in baseball is a question, but he loved baseball. He finally bought an interest in the Louisville Colonels, as they were known at that time. There were at that time 12 clubs in the league, and they decided to reduce the league to 8 clubs. So my father brought the Louisville club to Pittsburgh and purchased the Pittsburgh club, and he consolidated the 2 clubs. That is how we came to live in Pittsburgh. I also had a brother who was 2 years older than I. My mother was born in Louisville. Her parents had come to Louisville from Germany. I never really knew too much about them, and last October, when I was in Louisville visiting some cousins, I decided to go to the cemetery there and try to find out a little more about them. So I went there and took down the dates from the tombstones, which I found really very interesting. My grandfather, Isaac Wolf, was born in Bavaria, and my grandmother, Fedora Kahn, was born in Germany. And they were married and lived in Louisville until my grandfather died. Then my grandmother moved to New York because they had 13 children, of whom my mother was the youngest. And several of the children, were not children anymore by that time, lived in New York. So she lived in New York until she died. That was in 1905.
Very interesting.
My parents were both very much interested in music, and that is how they met. They both lived in Louisville, but they didn't know one another until, I think it was in the spring of 1892. They both were on a train going to Cincinnati for the May Music Festival there. That's how they met, and the following October they were married. So the family came to Pittsburgh, and well, of course I was a very small child at the time. We lived at the Hotel Schenley for 5 years. Then we moved to the East End, and my brother and I both went to a friendship school, and I went from there to Peabody High School, and from Peabody High School to Pitt. I graduated from Pitt in 1920.
Can you tell us about your friends?
And all during high school days, I guess even earlier than that, a group of us had a crowd who met mostly on Sundays. There was Henrietta Rao, Madeline Crone, Dorothy Hast, Blumenthal, Diana Eigel, Marion Lipman, Kitty DeRoy, Florence Weisskopf, and a few others.
How about the boys?
Oh, well, this was almost before we even went with boys, but of course that came too. And Dorothy's cousin, I'm sure, introduced, became the man I married later. I'm sure we got to know one another through Dorothy, who is now Dorothy Blumenthal. We lived at the Ruskin when we were first married. Then we moved to Beacon Street. We were married June 29, 1925. And we lived on Beacon Street for 6 years. And I've lived in this house on Aylesborough Avenue ever since, which is a long time to stay in any one place.
Now, what did Bill do? What was Bill doing?
Bill was in the insurance business and very, very interested in music. He played piano. He had really the education of a musicologist. And we were both very interested in music. I used to flatter myself that I could sing a little, play piano, and I suppose that was one of the things that brought us together. In addition to that, he was tremendously interested in baseball. And he used to tell the story that his father gave him and his brother Richard each 75 cents to go to the ball game. So they sat in the 25 cent seats and went three times instead of once. Kids in high school, I guess.
Did his father own the Pirates then?
Oh, no, his father was in the insurance business.
Oh.
Ben Swanger and Hast.
Your father?
My father.
Tell that. We wouldn't know that. Well, no, you didn't mention.
My father was the owner of the Pirates, which is what brought us here in 1900. And he was president of the Pirates from 1900 until he died in 1932. And my brother, who had also been connected with the Pirates after he graduated from Princeton, Sam died in 1931. And then my husband went into the baseball business with my father. And when my father died in 1932, Bill took over as president. And he was president of the club until we sold the ball club in 1946.
Now, I would like to hear some reminiscence about the club. I know you've always gone to a great many games, and I'm sure, have you known any of the older players?
Oh, yes.
Well, we would love to hear some of that.
Well,
of course, anything you'd like to tell us.
I've always been terribly and tremendously interested in baseball, and I was even up at Cooperstown just a month ago when they had the induction of the Hall of Famers there and saw a lot of the old-time players and a great many of the owners and the league officials whom I hadn't seen in several years, and I really had quite a field day up there. Well, Casey Stengel was there, and he greeted me, and Red Ruffing, and Lloyd Wainer, and Stan Musial.
How well did you know them?
Oh, most of them quite well, because, well, we were associated for so many years. But it's been a long time. You see, we sold the club in 1946, and so this is 28 years later.
But
we've still kept up. I mean, Bill and I went to games for many years after. I still go, as a matter of fact. I was at the All-Star game this year, and it was very interesting. They called me and told me that the Chamber of Commerce was having a luncheon the day before the All-Star game, and they would like me as a guest to come and sit at the head table. And I really was quite flattered, because I think after this length of time, you feel that they can forget about you, but they don't, and I really am quite pleased with all the attention I get. When I go to the ball game, they roll out the red carpet if anyone happens to be around, and it's really very gratifying.
Do you remember anything particular about the players from way back, their personalities that impressed you? Going back to, like, Casey Stengel, for instance.
Well, of course, I can remember way back before Casey's time. Fred Clark, who was our manager from the time that the club came here until 1917, we used to see a great deal of. And he had two daughters with whom I was very friendly, and I still keep up that friendship with them. And Hannes Wagner, of course, and he played, and then after he retired, Bill brought him back as a coach in 1933, and he was with the Pirates then until he died. And, Max Carey and Rip Sewell. I hear from all of these people at Christmas time. Every year I get Christmas cards with notes on them. So it's really been a very interesting...
Do you have any great favorites among these old-time players?
Well, of course, most of my favorites are gone.
Well, that's all right.
Like Thomas and Fred Clark and Max Carey, Carson Bigby, Pye Trainer, who's, of course, more recent. But I enjoy keeping up the correspondence with them, and I do hear from a great many of them from time to time throughout the season. Wilbur Cooper was another one with whom we were very friendly.
I know of Bill's interest in the Pittsburgh Symphony and yours, and how this was another phase of his life. I'd like to hear just what that meant to him.
Well, Bill was always tremendously interested in music. He played the piano very well. He really had quite a professional understanding of music. And he was one who agitated for starting the symphony here. He felt that it was dreadful that a city like Pittsburgh had no symphony for so many years. And he was one of the prime movers in starting the symphony, he and Eddie Spector.
How did they start it? Did they go to business and industry?
Started with just musicians who played for nothing at the beginning. They got people who played in those days we had live theater, and each theater had an orchestra, and a great many of these men played in the orchestras at the Nixon and the Alvin. And they finally got people interested, people in industry, and they put together this sort of makeshift.
Bill went to interested women in orchestra. Remember who they?
Well, there were a lot. There was Mr. Weir and Mr. Falk, Leon Falk, and Mrs. Hall and Mrs. Hines, Mrs. Clifford Hines, and Mrs. Keister.
Did Bill gather these people around to
Ingersoll
interest them?
Well, they all worked together on it, really. Then finally, in 1926, they got the orchestra started. And Bill wrote the program notes from then until 1945. And he enjoyed doing that, but it got to be a little difficult at times because in the later years when he was out on the Pacific Coast with the ball club in spring training, I would send him the list of concerts, you know, and what they were going to play. And he would do them from out there, and then first thing you know, somebody had changed the program. So I used to spend a few hours at the library trying to fill in the notes that, of course, wouldn't have been correct at that time. But he loved doing that, and then he gave it up in 1945. He felt that he had done this long enough, and it was time someone else would take it over.